The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
It's News Talk. It's the Anton Savage Show. With me is Jerry Hussey. His new book, I Am, I Can, I Will. It is about the limits that we impose on ourselves thanks to our inner voice and how to get rid of that inner voice. And of course, among other things, Jerry Hussey was high performance psychology coach for a lot of the Irish Olympic boxers. I hadn't realised this until we were talking during the break. You were a boxer yourself.
Yeah, I sure was. I love the sport. As I said to you, I wasn't very good at it, but I absolutely loved it. It was an amazing sport.
Sad to see George Foreman die.
Yeah, absolutely. He was of that golden era that we probably, you're maybe a bit young to remember, but it was of that golden era, and he was one of the boxers that transcended sport. You know, he was a coloured guy like Ali who stood up for a better world. And since he retired from boxing, he spent his life as a minister and an amazing guy. And after his defeat to Ali, you know, he realised that you can't just be defined by what you do. So an amazing guy, transcended sport with a massive passion, a massive heart, and helped a lot of kids.
And also, I suppose, representative to some degree of some of what you would believe about people's capacity to forge their own destiny. Because after the Ali fight, he ended up doing sort of five in a row bouts with people. I mean, real Barnum and Bailey pantomime stuff. He was deeply depressed and sort of washed up and said, no, I'm not going to wallow. I'm going to forge something real and significant for the community. I'm going to do that. Like, he really did remake himself, which is remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. He was wrote off more times and he was, you know, nobody gave him a chance. Promoters dropped him. They thought he was past it and washed up, but he had this voice inside that said, no way. He had this dream of becoming a world champion again, and he miraculously worked his way towards it, which was incredible, and was very open about his own mental health challenges and his own challenges. But he had this voice, he had this story inside him that he could be world champion once again, and he did that and became the oldest man ever to win a heavyweight title.
Although when you look at it from the other side, 46 seems very young.
Well, I know.
A mere child.
It's only a child nowadays.
So I am, I can, I will. In part, this is about defeating your inner voice and about convincing yourself of your own capacity. Now, my concern in doing this, Jerry, is that what you do is you give people a confidence that outstrips their competence.
No, and I had this debate the other day with another great guy. And, people should follow their talent, not their passion. I don't agree whatsoever. I know a lot of my friends who are in jobs that they're good at, but they hate and they're miserable. You get one shot at this life, Anton. Roughly your life expectancy is 900 months. You sleep 300. You roughly have 600 waking months. You get to my age, you've half that left. You got to ask yourself one simple question. Who am I? What is my life about? And if I really dared to back myself, if I didn't worry about failure, if I followed passion, what would I do? When you work hard at something you're passionate about, it's energy giving. When you work hard at something you're not passionate about, it's energy sapping. I think it's dangerous to tell kids, and another interviewer was challenging me and said, but what if a young kid wants to be, you know, a rock star and they simply can't sing? I said, it's a good job that somebody didn't tell Ed Sheeran that when he was 16, couldn't sing, as we know he couldn't, and was turned down by every recording studio in the world. If you're not following your dream, what are you following? There's a beautiful line by Marianne Williamson says, you know, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that others don't feel insecure around us. Too many kids are told to shrink their dreams, shrink their ideas, shrink their opinions, play it safe, play it small, and live a long life of mediocrity. Not for me.
Well, it's funny. I was watching a thing recently done by a teacher a couple of years ago where she gave her class three acronyms that they had to try to solve. By the end of it, one half of the class had succeeded in all three. One half had done nothing. And what she subsequently revealed was that the first two given to half the class were insoluble. They all had the same third one, but the half that had the insoluble ones to begin with, they had just totally accepted defeat. I can't do this. And therefore didn't even manage the one that was,
of course,
understandable. The difficulty, though, I assume, is that for some people, there comes a point where they just can't. If you have the Ed Sheeran thing in there somewhere is the ability to sing. Surely there are people where you go, golf isn't for you. Boxing isn't for you. whatever it might be? Or do you keep powering on no matter
what? I think for me, it's the pursuit of excellence, the pursuit of your dream. The pursuit alone in itself is something amazing. So somebody could have easily said to me when I was 15, 16, 17, you've been boxing 6 or 7 years, you've won nothing, you're wasting your time, what are you at? But I knew when I was in the boxing gym, I came alive, my soul came alive. When I was around boxers in that environment, I came alive. And then I became coach to the Irish Olympic boxing team. From that, I got to work with Munster Rugby. From that, I got to work with probably some of the greatest athletes in the world. From that, I got to do retreats, events. I owe everything to boxing. Because when I box, I allow people to see me at my best. So you might not be the rock star, but as long as you continually surround yourself with people who challenge you and inspire you and uplift you, as long as you're open-minded, as long as you're willing to ask, you know, where's my passion lie now? So I definitely got to a point where I realized, well, I'm not going to be an Olympic boxer, but I want to be around Olympians. I want to be in boxing all my life. So I think as long as you're pursuing your passion and you have an open mind and you're agile and you're adaptive, like, I could never imagine I'd be doing this, writing best-selling books and running retreats. Never in my wildest dreams.
Well, it's funny. It's a bit like the other sports star who died recently, that being Eddie Jordan. To an extent, the same thing. Eddie was never quite fast enough to be at the upper edges of driving, though he was a very good racing driver, but channeled the passion into remarkable success in the field. One of the things that you talk about in the book, though, is about how to interpret challenges in a way that stops them becoming overwhelming. You talk about threat-based thinking versus opportunity-based thinking.
I have this idea, there's two ways of living our life. One is fear and one is love. When you're in a fear-based, you're living in your brain, and your brain is a threat detection system. It is chemically, scientifically set up to identify threat. So if you see life as a threat, if you say to yourself, there's not much money out there, it's very hard to buy a house, like good things don't happen to me, you're living from a place of fear. The moment you live from a place of fear, chemically, your system is set up with adrenaline and cortisol. So now your nervous system is in an anxious state, but your prefrontal cortex of the brain shuts down. So when you're in a threat state, the limbic brain takes over. Now you're running on subconscious programs. Creativity, imagination, decision-making has gone out the window. So what we need to navigate the ups and downs of life is calmness, composure, decision-making and resilience. And we can't access any of those capabilities if we're living in a fear, stress state.
So how do you make the shift?
The maybe is every morning you wake up, you get a chance and a choice. Every single morning we wake up, those two gifts are beside our bed. A chance to start again, a chance to ask, who do I want to be today? A chance to ask, how am I daring to respond? We all know that we can't control what happens to us in our life. We can't control the things or the people around us. But we, at all times, get to choose our response. So every single morning, we have a chance to begin again, a chance to rewrite our story, a chance to believe, to visualize the day we want, a chance to believe that we can do it, and a choice whether we do that or not. Because most people wake up in the morning, they go straight to the news app, they listen, download more negative information, they think about the meeting they don't want to go to, they think about the job they don't like, they think about all that can go wrong. And whether you know it or not, we are always manifesting our life. So whether you think you're going to win or you think you're going to lose, you're right.
Now, the corollary of that you mentioned in the book then is, in the one hand is looking for the opportunity. The other is almost forcing yourself into what I think you called a gratitude mindset.
Of course.
So a gratitude mindset is what now?
A gratitude mindset is an abundance mindset. So when we train our brain, we're training our brain and our reticular activating system to look for certain cues in the world. The human ego and the human subconscious mind are connected. And the ego, his job or its job is to prove the subconscious belief right. So if I say the world is negative and I'm not going to get this job, then the subconscious mind will only allow the conscious mind to select the cues that match that. So in the book, what I'm trying to prove is when you really listen to your inner narrative, then inner story, the voice you hear within, is the spokesperson of the subconscious mind. To change your inner story, you have to change your subconscious beliefs. We see the world not as it is, but as we are. So if your subconscious belief is, I'm not enough, I'm not that clever, good things don't happen to me. It's hard to fall in love. It's hard to make money. I'll never be that. I need to play it safe and small. Then our life can never be bigger or better than the extent of our subconscious beliefs. So I use this book to prove that by listening and identifying the habits and patterns of our inner voice, we get to truly know our subconscious beliefs. And if you want to know why your life is where it is, identify your subconscious beliefs.
Now, you're saying that you can, to some extent, influence this. You have a thing where you say that there are gratitude journaling prompts, as you put them. Who is it that brings me most joy? Where and with whom do I feel loved? What's my happiest memory? Are you saying that you finish up every day and take a moment of reflection and think yourself into gratitude before bed?
I do it in the morning. I do it in the evening. And sometimes I need to do 10 times a day, because sometimes if I'm meeting challenge after challenge, it's reset. So you think of a Formula One driver in a car. There's so much happening at any given moment. The most important thing he needs to do is regulate his nervous system. So he needs to regulate his chemistry. He needs to regulate his prefrontal cortex. He needs to regulate his... How does he do that? He does that through breath, first and foremost. He does that. He's driving into a bend where there seems to be no space. But what he's saying to himself is, find the space, find the space, find the space. And what he's doing that, he's just allowing himself to feel love. When I work with athletes, the biggest thing I ask them to do is love what they do. Love running out in Croke Park. Love being 3 points behind with 10 minutes to go. Just love it. Because when you practice gratitude, it has a massive impact on your brain connection, your brain synapses, your immune system and your nervous system. So we're physically, chemically and biologically set up to experience the world differently if we're in a state of gratitude rather than a state of fear. If we're in a state of fear, then we're just constantly going to see more and more threat.
Now, to what extent, if any, is the effect of you being around these people contributing to the way that they interpret the world? Because I assume there are people with powerful and charismatic personalities where if I'm an athlete and I'm talking to Jerry and Jerry is making me believe in myself, through sheer force of will, I can benefit. Can I get that off the page if you're not sitting in front of me?
Yeah, absolutely. Because in this book, I pack it with loads of practical examples. I wanted this book to be punchy is the word. So funny, we started off with boxing. I wanted to be punchy. I wanted to be aha moments where I want people to experience in this book as if they're sitting in front of me. And people who know me, I'm not the poor you merchant. I ask people, have a good listen to your stories. Have a good listen to your excuses. Have a good listen to the things you're giving your energy and awareness and attention to, and ask yourself, is that an empowering narrative or a disempowering narrative? Is the story you're telling yourself right now healing you or hurting you? So this is a chance for people to be coached by me in the unique system that I have, that I've learned from some really great coaches.
And you can hand on heart promise us, Jerry, that we won't end up like the contestants in X Factor, where we walk in filled with our own confidence in our abilities, but it's entirely misplaced.
What I've learned over this is the greatest tragedy in life is not death. The greatest tragedy of life is arriving at the end and realizing we've never lived. The greatest tragedy in life is all the little things we allow die within us. You got to make a decision today. What is my life about? Am I actually here to play small? Am I meant to be living my life fulfilling other people's beliefs? Or in this one short, beautiful life that I get, am I really willing to give it my best shot and live it on my terms? Because at the end, the only thing that matters as we take our last breath is, am I proud of who I am? Am I proud of the decisions I made? Am I proud of the things I went after? And one of the greatest books that anybody should read is The Five Regrets of the Dying. What I'm telling you is, I can't guarantee you success, but if you follow this process, I guarantee you, you'll have no regrets.
Jerry, thank you very much. That is Jerry Hussey, and the latest book is I Am, I Can, I Will. Silence your inner critic, wake up your inner coach, and reclaim your confidence and power.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.